Okay. So, Brittany, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule today to sit and chat with me. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name is Brittany Roeming. I received my certification in health information management in early 2022. I'm currently a practice advisor with the Saskatchewan Medical Association's EMR program. And I'm coming up to about 2 years in that role. As a practice advisor, I work with physicians and their staff in using their EMR systems and other available digital health tools for areas such as to gain efficiency in their practice, reduce administrative burden, entering and reporting on data in their EMR, assisting with getting set up with EMR integrated services with health system partners like eHealth Saskatchewan, and working towards other areas like provincial initiatives and programs.
Wow, that's a lot. It seems like you have a very diverse role. Can you unpack for us what a practice advisor does and what that means?
So it's a little bit of a lot of different areas. We connect with physicians right from when they join their clinic, whether that's with a brand new EMR system or if they're joining a clinic that already has an EMR system, getting them connected with any integrated services available. So some of them in Saskatchewan are electronic labs. We have a chronic disease management quality improvement program. There's our electronic health record viewer for the province. There's a feature called Launch in Context, so they can launch the HR viewer directly from the EMR. We also do some troubleshooting if they have issues with their programs. Our EMR program holds master service agreements with vendors, so if issues can't be corrected between the physician clinic and the vendor, we can help with escalations. And then pretty much any, because we have a lot of direct contact with clinics and physicians, they come to us with a lot of questions. So if we don't know the answers to those questions, we provide resources of where they can go and who they can discuss those questions with.
So it sounds like the EMR portion of it is very diverse. There's a lot of different digital pieces that feed into the EMR. I'll come back to that in a minute. I'd like to go back a little bit and have you share a moment from your career as a medical administrative assistant that influenced your path into the health information management role.
Well, I think pretty early on as a medical admin assistant, I was influenced towards health information management, although I didn't really know its name yet. So after graduating in my medical administrative assistant course, I went to work in a clinic that had been utilizing an EMR system for a number of years. When I made the move over to working in the hospital, I was quite shocked to be in a mainly paper environment, and the few digital tools that could be utilized were treated with a lot of hesitancy and distrust. And I think that's when I probably took up the unofficial position of champion of new digital health systems. And then, while certainly health information management still has a lot of paper components, the digital data is where I found a connection to. From that part of the hospital, mainly working in paper records, I moved to an outpatient clinic that was just in the starting of their process of an EMR go live. So I became a champion again there. So as the most experienced with an EMR in that clinic, I took on additional roles like determining the filing structure, creating templates and forms, managing query building and reporting, and those additional roles working with the patient data. Which were mostly outside of my standard job duties as a medical admin assistant, but also where I found the most excitement in that work. And after about a year there, I experienced a bumping layoff and ended up in another clinic just going through their EMR go live, and kind of took on that champion role there again. And around that same time, I ran into a former coworker who was on her practicum for health information management in the health records department of the same hospital. So after reading a bit into that career path, I knew it was for me.
That's amazing, and it sounds like you definitely championed the transition from paper to digital. What would you say was the biggest challenge in that transition?
So I think the biggest challenges that I faced in a paper to EMR transition is the time it takes to transition over. And I also feel that I see this with the physicians and clinics I work with right now as well. There's an expectation, I think, in today's age that you can hop on new technology and just run with it. But to have a successful transition from paper to EMR, there needs to be an awareness of the time it takes for change management. There are new skills to learn, paper records to scan, and to truly get the most out of an EMR system, there is time that it takes to enter patient health information into the new electronic record in a way that'll provide benefit beyond just a single patient encounter. EMRs offer the ability to pull and share data and create reporting, but to do so, the data must be entered in a standard fashion.
Now, would you say that during this transition, it was done in a phased approach, or was it rip the Band-Aid off, we're going live with EMR, we're going to get rid of paper on this day, and the next day it's going to be digital?
So for the clinics I worked in, we kind of did a standard approach. We didn't have like certain timelines. The clinics I work with now, some of them transition to it gradually. Some of them are like, okay, we're going. So it's just different preferences. But I do think that there has to be an awareness that it is going to take time to get everything working how you'd like it to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think like anything, it takes time. What would you say excites you the most about an electronic medical record?
Really, the patient data and going beyond just your single patient encounter. So depending on how patient health information is entered into the EMR, can be all sorts of reporting that can be created. So whether that's graphing a trend in a patient's lab work, like following their INR results, or the physician's ability to understand more about their patient population, or to share data with other healthcare providers caring for that patient.
Okay, thank you. So as an advocate for digital health, and it sounds like you've been an advocate from the very beginning, what key changes or innovations do you hope to see implemented within the healthcare system as it relates to the electronic record?
So I'm hoping to see more utilization of EMR interoperability. I know in Saskatchewan here, it's underutilized and it's still going through a process. Only one of our EMR systems allows both notifications and extract components, and our other approved EMR system is still in the process of getting all of those available. And with that, patients usually interact with their family doctor as first point and typically most frequent point of contact with the healthcare system. And lots of those family physicians are working in EMR systems that are essentially data silos, with that information only being accessible within the provider's EMR. So very interested to see where that will go with EMR interoperability. I'm also really interested on how AI will impact the healthcare system. So there are some AI tools that are already in use and the technology seems to be moving pretty fast. So I'm hopeful that AI tools can be utilized to provide benefit to both the healthcare provider and patient and can be done in a safe and secure manner.
I love that. I'm going to take you back to the AI piece because that interests me as well. What tools are you seeing that are of the most value right now?
So as of right now, it's really just not a lot that I've seen going on in clinics today, but we have heard physicians start discussing like AI scribes and such of that. So I think that's what we're seeing doctors start with, and then I'm very curious where it's going to go, and I think there still needs to be some regulations put in place, and that's still on the catch up right now.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. You said that you'd love to see a little more interoperability with regards to the EMR. So I live in Alberta, and probably over the last 2 to 3 years, we've been phasing in ConnectCare and my digital health record. So as a consumer, as a patient, I'm able to go into my digital health record, see my lab work, and then be able to have the conversation with my physician at some point. There's also connectability between departments with regards to the health record. Is Saskatchewan in the same place? Is that something that you're working towards? What does that look like?
So Saskatchewan with eHealth Saskatchewan has the EHR viewer, which is more of for the providers of patient care. And that's where kind of EMR interoperability is connecting with right now. eHealth Saskatchewan does have a MySask eHealth record, which is the patient portal. And that's kind of outside of where I work, but I think the two systems are different at current. But the information flow that we deal with EMR interoperability is to the EHR viewer.
Perfect. Thank you for that. You mentioned that you're passionate about data standardization in healthcare. Can you explain its significance and how it relates to patient care?
So how providers enter data into the patient's electronic health record determines how it can be used. So the approved EMRs in Saskatchewan do contain a lot of free text fields, and there's also little in the way of it being mandated how providers enter what is in their notes. So I use my health information management knowledge to suggest best practices for data entry, and use my voice to both encourage my team to do the same, as well as provide insight into where future initiatives could better practice standardization.
Perfect. So again, in your role as a practice advisor, what has been the most rewarding experience and why?
So as a practice advisor, I feel like one of the most rewarding experiences comes from assisting physicians and their clinic staff learning new tools or skills. So sometimes it's even just a small step in how they complete a task in their day, and you're able to show them a feature or a tool to make it more efficient. You can see their eyes light up and you get that understanding or appreciate, oh, and from them. And you can tell that that small step multiple times, many, many times throughout their day, will now save them quite a bit of additional time.
And I think in healthcare, it all comes down to how much time can you save a provider in doing something. So that's great that those are some of the suggestions that you're making. When you became certified in health information management, how did that change your perspective or approach to the role that you were doing previously?
So becoming certified in health information management gave me a much larger insight into the healthcare system and into the areas I encountered as a medical administrative assistant, but at that time it was more of a surface level. So topics like health information, privacy, they're all things I encountered on a daily basis as an admin assistant, but really never dealt with anything beyond my outlined job scope. So now I have a much greater understanding of how those topics and more impact the healthcare system, why they're there, and what can be done with them. I also really enjoy the continuing education available to me as a CHIM, and I think it benefits my role as a practice advisor to bring those learnings and insights into our team and the association for consideration.
I'm going to go off script here a little bit. But what are some of those professional developments that you've done that have been probably the most rewarding and enriching for yourself and for the role?
Yeah. So actually, I haven't had a chance to report it back to my team, but I attended the PrepC education half day yesterday. Those are all kind of topics we're very interested in. I attended the Saskatchewan Education Day. The networking availability was also very important to us. I'm the only HIM on my team, so it's given kind of new networking of abilities and connections with different areas that we may have been lacking in before.
That's amazing. And I think I've said this throughout all the interviews that I've done. It seems like health information is that quiet, that subtle area that people don't really recognize. So it's great that, one, that you're the not that it's great that you're the only CHIM, but you have a voice, and maybe that'll spark something in your colleagues to be like, oh, didn't know that, or might be a path that I'd like to go down as well. So that's great that you're able to bring back that learning to your team. So a couple of personal questions here. With such a demanding career, how do you maintain a healthy work-life balance? And I understand that you do weightlifting, so what role does weightlifting play in your life?
So maintaining a healthy work-life balance. So I try to find pockets of time where I can complete tasks. I currently work hybrid remote and then in office. So on my remote working days, time where I would be spending commuting, I now try and get some chores completed to gain back time in my weekend where I can spend it where I want to. The type of weightlifting I do is called Olympic weightlifting, and I've done this recreationally for a few years now. And beyond just the physical and fitness aspects of the sport, my gym operates like a team and a community. And we have members on our team that lift recreationally, like myself, as well as those who complete or compete provincially, nationally, and internationally. And really, no matter where you are in your journey, the team's there to hype you up and cheer you on. Whether you're new to lifting, hitting personal bests, or on the platforms at a meet. So it's not only part of my weekly fitness, but also my social time.
I love that. I love how you said that you build in pockets of time, and the time that you would have spent commuting, you build that into your day as personal time for yourself, or that sort of mental health space, wellness space. So that's great. I think that's something that a lot of us can learn from, actually. So how do your outdoor activities like gardening, walking, influence your well-being and your professional productivity?
So I feel spending time outdoors is really important to me, especially being in Saskatchewan, and sometimes outdoor time in the winter can be quite limited with the cold. And my job right now is predominantly a desk job, so having some non-screen activities is beneficial. Even a short lunchtime walk in the neighborhood is a great way to refresh and reset myself for afternoon work. With gardening, it allows me to bring a bit of creative side to myself. While I do grow vegetables and fruit for food, I treat gardening like a bit of a science experiment where I can try new varieties or methods. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes not so much. I've also started working with planting species native to the prairies, so it helps give a connection to nature and the land I'm living on.
Another very important aspect is that the native plants back into the environment, finding out what those plants are and then using them in your gardening, or getting rid of lawns and transplanting these plants and these greenery to help the environment out. So I love that. One more thing, you also volunteer with Rescue for Street Cats, which must be quite fulfilling. Tell us a little bit about this experience.
I both volunteer as well as foster, and it's been very fulfilling. So I really enjoy going to events. There's always good discussions with the public about adoptions and new trends like catios for cats who really enjoy being outdoors, or cat backpacks and harnesses to be able to bring your cat on daily adventures instead of allowing them to roam freely. I've had a few fosters now, and going to the events are and meeting the public and just having good discussions is my favorite part.
While you were talking, something sparked in my mind about, I'm going to take us back to the EHR, or the EMR, sorry, or the EHR. How do you maintain the integrity of privacy in the medical health records?
So unlike most HIMs, I don't work directly within the health records. What I do in my role, our program does offer some privacy and policy and procedures templates, and we strongly encourage clinics to develop their policies either with our templates or using their own templates, and encourage best practice within their clinic with the health information.
Do you think that that's something that you mentioned before, that you're sort of like that liaison between the physicians and the clinics? Do you find that a lot of questions about the medical record then come to you, and they're looking for some guidance and some support?
We do get some questions with our role right now. Mostly what we do with regards to privacy is refer them to the templates and creating those policies, making sure things are written up and not just, especially physicians joining practice, making sure that they have written agreements and not just verbal agreements in case there are issues in the future when they choose to move and want to transport their data.
Thank you for answering that. Is there anything about your role that I haven't asked you that you think is important for us to know about?
I think with our role, we are very we're very much assistants to change management with clinics, and providing support wherever we can. Really, myself personally, I'm very passionate about my work and using my role to assist the healthcare system in becoming better, whether it's from assisting individual physicians and staff on ways they can make their days easier and maybe not have to stay so late in the evenings, finishing up work, to help guiding future policies and initiatives around health information and health information sharing in the province.
That's great. How do you want, or how do you hope to be remembered professionally? And what impact do you wish to leave in the healthcare industry?
So I'm going to kind of say the same as your previous question. Like, I want to be remembered as someone who is passionate about their work and passionate about helping others make their work more efficient, enjoy their jobs as well. And get the health system working in a better fashion for both the healthcare providers and for the patients.
Well, thank you. I don't have any other questions, and it's been a pleasure to sit down and talk with you and to find a little bit more about what it is that you do in your day-to-day life. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Yep, I'm just gonna stop the recording.